So today we are going to talk about testing, and that's, I'm sure, a favorite subject for everyone. I want to tell you about is, if you're an RN or if you know an RN, you know that you have to be tested by the state in order to get your, whatever it is, license to be a registered nurse. And I've been through this, with Jamie. She had to take this test. I think they call it state boards or something like that. And she took it, and then she came home. And she was quite distraught because she was convinced that she didn't pass it. And it was kind of a struggle for her, because some of her friends got the results online before she did. So she was pretty sure that she didn't pass it. And she was going through all the struggles with that, and she, was convinced that she had failed. So I went online and looked it up, and it said that 8% of the people who take that test fail it. And I thought, I would comfort her by using logic and reason and just say, okay, honey, now, what are the odds that you're in the lower 8% of Grand Valley's class? And that was a mistake, because that's just not very comforting. Logic and reason don't really work in times like that. But then Zach, her boyfriend, was online, and he saw, before she did, that she actually passed it. And then she was much happier, But it was a highly emotional time. She passed and got her nursing license. And I think that testing is good. I mean, if I'm in a hospital or need a nurse, I don't want an incompetent nurse. I want one that is tested and proven. I don't want all those stuff that they do to be done by somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. So I think testing is good. Same thing with driving. I've been through that 5 times now with 5 different kids. And what I do before, I tell them before I sign off on letting them get a driver's license, they have to drive the Chicago Loop. It's very simple, 6 lanes, on each side, bumper to bumper, but they have to do it because I figured it'd give them confidence. And again, Jamie did that spectacularly well. I just said, pick a lane and stay in it. You'll be fine. Just make the loop one time. And we were in our van, and I'm riding shotgun. Diane's in the middle seat, and Diane got quiet, and I thought, I turn around, look, she's sound asleep. So we knew then that Jamie would pass that test. But, it's the same thing as with a nursing test. You want your kids to be competent drivers. I think Michigan, I really like living here, but Michigan's got the worst drivers any place I've ever lived. And I want you all agree with that, huh? You don't? Well, you haven't already started driving yet. But no, it's like tailgating is normal for Michigan. And I want my kids to be competent drivers. So I like it that, they get tested with that. And I think the most discouraging time for me as a pastor, biggest test I've ever gone through, was the pandemic. Because half of the people dropped out of church and didn't come back. Still. It literally cut the church in half. And that was really discouraging. How would I handle that? How could I pass that test? I agree with Rick Warren when he says this, that, life is a test, life is a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. Today I want us to look at the test part, because I believe that everything is a test. Just think of something that's caused you stress in the past year. It was the most stressful thing you went through, could be you're not getting along with your kids. Could be a car accident or your car breaks down. Could be you're too busy or maybe not busy enough. Tests range from minor inconveniences like high price of eggs to major situations like a bad diagnosis from a physician. The question is, how are you going to handle the test? We're going to look at how Jesus handled the test today and see if that applies to us. I'm taking this from Luke chapter 4, And it's one of those really interesting passages. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. See, notice the wording of this, folks. It's really interesting. Led by the Spirit to the devil. It's almost weird, isn't it, when you think about it? You're led by God to the devil to be tested. God even tested Jesus, so you're not immune to it. 40 days and 40 nights, that's a long test. And he ate nothing. Can you imagine that? Talk about hangry, hungry and angry at the same time. Imagine what that was like. I was trying to figure that out, and the image came to mind. In South Dakota, we had this old boy, he's a rancher, and he's a big guy, 300 pounds at least. And he was trying to quit smoking cigarettes. And you know how it was in the 80s, as soon as the church service was out, all the old boys went in the parking lot and lit up. It's like a tobacco barbecue. And so he's standing there talking to this other guy, and this other guy's puffing away, This guy who's trying to quit, all of a sudden he runs to his car, and I said, "Well, what's the deal? Are you mad about something?" He said, "No, I either have to get out of here or I'm going to kill him and take his cigarette away." He was that longing for it. And I can imagine that's how I'd be for food. I mean, I need, I'm about a 2-hour baby as it is. And can you imagine 40 days? It was quite a test. So the passage goes on. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. "Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread." Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." Now, if we believe that Jesus is part of the Holy Trinity, that he's coexistent with God from the beginning, he would have remembered this. He would have remembered Eden. Now, naturally, the only pictures you could find in the Garden of Eden, the fruit is an apple. I think it's an avocado, something nasty. But the pictures all say apple. See, it's not the food that's the problem. It's who you take the food from. And Jesus had to remember that here is the devil offering him food, just like he offered it to Adam and Eve that started the whole mess. So the passage goes on, the second test. "For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms on the earth to display at once. Then the devil said, 'They're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me and they're yours, the whole works.'" Now imagine that. All the governments of the world I control. Now, Satan's a liar, of course. We don't know if that's true. But I had a buddy who used this passage to address a college chapel a while back. And he said, the government's all under control of the devil. Everything is. Most of you would agree with that. But there was a young lady in that crowd whose dad was a Michigan legislator. And she said, he really wants to serve the public. He wants to make Michigan a better state. And she felt really bad that he had said that. So I have to be careful, too. I don't want to do that to anybody. But it made him feel bad. Some things in government are led by good people. But here, the devil says he's in charge. All the kingdoms of the world. The Romans were ruling Jerusalem at that time. The devil is, as Jesus said, the father of lies. So was it true that he had control of this? Well, we don't know. I've often said in order to get to 1600 Pennsylvania, you need to make a deal with the devil. And I think that's partially true, but maybe it's not. But we do know that the devil is angry with God, and he wants to be God. And he wants to be your God. And he wants to get you to do everything that you do for ego, just like he does. And here he was appealing to Jesus' ego. Can you imagine saying, okay, you are going to be the most powerful man on earth if you just bend the knee to me. I'll give this to you. You can be the ruler if you make the deal. So Jesus' test was the temptation to be the most powerful man in the world. I don't know if I'd have passed that test. Well, maybe just this once I'll bend the knee, you know. Because I could do a lot of good if I was the ruler of the world. But Jesus said no. He refused. Again, backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and the Lord your and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. He's asking, who's your master? Bend the knee only to God. I'll bet the devil was furious at that point. Because what does he want the most is to be revered and respected. And here Jesus said no. Well, go try for strike three, third test. For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, if you are God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it? That he's placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Yes, said Jesus, and it's also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God. So he took him to the temple, and we don't really know what the temple looked like. But this is an artist's rendition of Herod's temple, the second temple. And you can see that high point right over the Holy of Holies there. It was 164 feet tall, according to the records. That's roughly 15 stories. And he took Jesus up there and said, go ahead and jump. God will protect you. Just trust God. That's the devil talking. Imagine that. But Jesus knew better than to try to manipulate God. He said, don't tell God what to do. Respect God's sovereignty. And so he didn't do it. But you can imagine what it was like to stand up there and see what he saw and to actually face that testing. Well, the passage goes on like this. That completed the testing, the devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. See, evil is restless. And it's always looking for another opportunity to mess things up. Jesus passed this test, but other tests were coming. You can imagine the crucifixion was an ultimate test. But here's the result of this round of tests. Jesus returned to Galilee, powerful in the spirit. News that he was back spread through the countryside. He taught in their meeting places to everyone's acclaim and pleasure. He had confidence. He had credibility because he passed the test. Now, I agree with Rick Warren when he says that everything in life is a test. And passing tests gives you confidence. I remember moving to my first church in South Dakota. The movers were there unpacking the truck, and a woman came up to me and said, my daddy just died. Can you do his funeral? And, you know, I had absolute experience of one funeral under my belt that I had done here in Muskegon at First Reformed. And the situation there was quite unusual, too, because this guy died. The pastor's in the hospital, and the family asked me to do the funeral. I hadn't even been to a funeral in 5 years. I didn't have the training yet, so they said, well, just go to this funeral home across the street from the hospital. It's the old Hackley. And so I went, and it was Achterhoff Mortuary. My mother's maiden name is Achterhoff. Found out that I'm related to those people, and Roland Achterhoff taught me how to do funerals. And I'm still doing them that way to this day. But see, now I've got about 600 of them under my belt, so I'm a little more experienced. That night, I didn't sleep very well. You know, today I know what to do, but I had to be tested. There's all kinds of tests that come around. It's a test when your spouse leaves you. Can't imagine the kind of test it is when your spouse dies, or when you lose your job, or you get sick. A test comes with every tragedy, and a test also comes with every good time. A financial bonanza can be one of the biggest tests. What are you going to do if you've achieved financial security? And good health is a test. Who will you serve with the blessings that you've been given? A career going well is a test. What are you willing to sacrifice to make it go even better? Now, I think we need to learn to embrace our tests, because then we gain the confidence for living. You get clarity of purpose. You eliminate spiritual distractions. You know, there's lots of tests that go on all the time. Divorce is a big one, big test. Cancer is a test. Loss of income is a test. COVID fallout was a huge test for me. Disillusionment and discouragement were a test. But you know, when you pass the test, the anxiety becomes a thing of the past. I say, well, what if I fail? Well, failure itself is a test. What are you going to do with your failure? How are you going to respond to that failure? That's a test. That's a test to pass that'll give you peace and joy in all situations. The cool part of this story from the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus was tested. So you're not going to be exempt. I mean, Jesus was tested. Now, you probably aren't going to get escorted by the devil to the top of a temple. At least if I see you up on the roof here, I'm going to ask some serious questions. But you're going to be tested. There's no question about that. Jesus, by the way, passed his test. And you can pass yours too, because he's going to walk with you through them. And that, I think, is the main point of this passage. That the tests are going to come, but he's been through it. So he's going to walk with you through your testing. Let's believe this good news and live in peace. Pray with me, please. Lord, we know the tests are coming and that they're part of this life. We know that we've maybe messed up some tests in the past. We know with you there's always another chance. So help us to embrace the fact that you walk with us through each test. Amen.